Will you turn with me in the scriptures to the prophet Isaiah chapter number 6, chapter number 4, rather, Isaiah chapter 4, as we endeavor this morning to look at one theme that three of the Old Testament prophets speak of, a theme which was prophetic concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, Israel was far, far removed, not only in time, but in spirit and in might from what it had been during the reign of King David. During David's reign, the kingdom had grown in strength and it was respected, and David had been used of God as a great shepherd king to establish the kingdom of Israel. And David had been promised by God that he would have a son who would sit on the throne, yea, not simply Solomon, David's son, but David's greater son, a son who would rule from David's throne forevermore, an everlasting kingdom. And so the people of Israel looked for that in expectation that there would be an everlasting throne of David established. And how that expectation must have been frustrated and discouraged as the kingdom after David began in a decline, which at times would be a precipitous decline, a sudden drop, and as its people were progressively carried away in wave after wave of captivity, and finally in Jesus' day when he was born, Israel was but a mockery of what it had been. Oh, it had a king, Herod, but he was there only by the approval of the Roman Empire. And he was no real Jew either. He came from a different line of people. And Herod had to please the Roman powers above him. Hence, there would be a Pontius Pilate try Christ. And what a sad state Israel was in the time that Christ was born. And within a century afterward, Israel would no longer be. The whole nation would be dispersed, enemies would rule, and there would be no Israel at all until 1948. And yet the prophets of old had foretold the great days of glory to come for their people Israel. And as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah wrote, those three prophets who speak of a coming branch, they speak to people who are oppressed and who are feeling that their nation is in utter humiliation and defeat. And they give them these promises, oh, but there is yet coming a branch who will grow forth unto glory. And so we want to look at that branch this morning, a prophecy of Christ, and we look to chapter 4 of Isaiah, where we've already read in verse number 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. Now notice several things. Here it is the branch of the Lord. And you notice in your King James Version the word Lord is in all capital letters, which means this is the branch of Jehovah. Jehovah, the self-existent one. He depends upon nothing. He will have a branch growing forth, an extension of himself. And this branch will be glorious. Thus, we have the branch of Jehovah, and the glory spoken of him is the glory of one, of one who keeps and shelters and protects his people. And so you notice the description of this one. He, verse 4, will wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion. He will have purged the blood of Jerusalem. Verse number 5, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Think about what this must have meant to the people reading Isaiah's prophecy. This branch of Jehovah, who will grow forth, will purify us. He will deliver us of the corruptions which have led to our downfall and condemnation. And not only will He purify us, but He will be a shelter to us. And verse 5 speaks of the cloud of smoke by day, the fire by night, and this to the people of Israel reverberated with significance and wonder. Remember their experience. They had come out of Egypt, led by Moses, as God delivered them. And as they had entered the divided Red Sea to be delivered from the Egyptian armies that pursued, there came between them and the Egyptian armies a cloud, which was a cloud of light to the people of Israel. They could see, but a cloud of darkness to the people of Egypt pursuing. They could not see. And in fact, the presence of that cloud was accompanied by the Egyptian army undertaking unexplainable and foolish things, like the taking off of their chariot wheels. In other words, this cloud that was a cloud of fire to God's people, illumining them, and a cloud of darkness to God's enemies, further darkening them. This is the image which is brought forth by Isaiah as being the work of this branch of Jehovah. That cloud had led the people of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. During the day it was a cloud above them to shade them from the blazing sun of the desert. During the night it was a cloud and pillar of fire above them so they could see in the darkness of the desert. It was their shelter. And I cannot but think that when the 121st Psalm was written, this is what the writer of that psalm had in mind. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Because by day the pillar of cloud, the very presence of Jehovah, was above them to protect them from the sun. And by night, the pillar of fire was above them to protect them from the darkness. Darkness and light are both alike to Him, and He makes them alike unto His own people, this branch of Jehovah, the shelter and keeper of His people. I think the hymn writer grasped these ideas when he wrote that hymn, "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abroad abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou shalt smile at all thy foes." And then there's the stanza of that hymn that says, "Round each habitation hovering, see the fire and cloud appear. For a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near." Indeed, the people of Israel have the fire and the cloud, and this branch of Jehovah shall be that to them. And it had been among them throughout their history. For you will recall how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace, and there were accompanied by another flame, which they were in the midst of, but which was their shelter and protection, so that the blazing of the fueled furnace could not affect them as the fire of God's presence enveloped them. And Isaiah speaks to a downcast people to tell them, the branch of Jehovah will purify you and will be your shelter and your shade. And we need this message today. The message that our purity is in Christ alone. and that our shelter is in Christ alone. I have been impressed lately with a larger than normal presence of illness, serious illness, and death in this precious assembly. For 3 weeks straight now, we have had one of our members leave this life. And there is grief. There is sorrow. And in the midst of that, we have had serious illness. Illness of such seriousness that we may wonder how long others will be in our midst on this earth. And other illness which has brought great discomfort, and families are stretched and strained, and the congregation feels that as well. And in the midst of all of it, let us look unto the branch of Jehovah. For he is the pillar of fire with his people by night, and he is the pillar of cloud with them by the day. Thus he keeps his people, and we look unto him alone. And as Isaiah wrote to a people suffering oppression, their nation crumbling around them, he pointed them toward this branch of Jehovah. He will purify us. He will be the cloud by day and the fire by night. And as we consider the cloud among God's people, I see Jesus and those three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, where a cloud envelops them. The very presence of God is there. And then I read how Christ's feet left the Mount of Ascension, and a cloud received him out of their sight. God is with his people. We look to chapter 11 of Isaiah. And in chapter 11, we read at the first verse, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." We have seen that the branch is the branch of Jehovah, but let us see the added revelation that Isaiah stacks atop his first statement. We see that this branch of Jehovah is also a branch of Jesse. A branch that is grown out of Jesse's stump. Now, this is the case. At the time of Isaiah, David's kingdom seemed to have been utterly cut down. And Jesse, the father of David, out of whom came David, from whom would come Christ, Jesse is described now as a stem, a cut-off stump. Can it be? As low as Israel has come, that there will ever be anything growing from the roots of Jesse again? And in the days of Christ, the descendants of David, Mary and Joseph being two of them, are having to make a journey at a most inopportune time when she is great with child, in order to register in their hometown for a Roman taxation. Where is this kingdom of Jesse, this kingdom of David? It would appear that the family tree has been cut off at the roots, and there is nothing but a dry, rotting stump. And yet the prophet is saying, a branch will grow out of that stump. Life will spring forth. For the branch of Jehovah is the branch of Jesse, and it will come out of his roots. And then the 11th chapter that we've read goes on to describe, and what a description it is. It describes this branch, clearly a person, as being anointed by the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God anoints him, he is anointed, verse number 3, with wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he is of such wisdom such might, such counsel and knowledge, that he will rule righteously. He is speaking here of Christ. That one promised to David, the son of David, who will grow forth out of the stump of Jesse, David's father, who will come forth in order to rule in righteousness and in wisdom such as has not been known among men. This is good news. Look at the governments of the world. What a wreck. What a mess we are in. Internationally. Not just our own. With all of the folly and all of the destruction, the disregard of life, of truth, of justice. But there will be a ruler with might who will rule in justice. And that is what Isaiah is telling oppressed Israel in her dejection. And the description of verses 6 and following, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. That does not happen. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. In other words, he describes here that during the rule of this branch of Jesse, it will be a rule of such amazing might that nature itself will be reprogrammed. Wolves and lambs do not exist together. Wolves eat lambs. The lion and the ox, they do not coexist. The ox is eaten by the lion. But there will be a day when this branch of Jesse rises, that nature itself will be reprogrammed and reoriented until the cattle and the lions feed together at the same stall. This is the wonder of this ruler, this branch of Jesse. We turn then to Genesis, or to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, begins with a rebuke to the shepherds, the pastors, who have scattered the sheep rather than nourishing and nurturing them. Woe unto the shepherds, the pastors, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. And he goes on to describe how he is set against those pastors. But there is the promise then of the day coming when he will give faithful shepherds, faithful pastors, who will truly nurture God's flock. And verse number 6, and in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now who is he speaking of there? Well, verse number 5, he is speaking of a righteous branch that is raised unto David. In other words, the branch of Jehovah from Isaiah 4, which is the branch from Jesse's roots of Isaiah 11, is the branch that is the righteous branch from David. And this text tells us an amazing thing. It says that he will be called, verse 6, the Lord our righteousness. It is speaking here of Jesus Christ. That is who the branch is throughout these passages. And yet, the name that is ascribed to him is Jehovah Tsekenu, translated the Lord our righteousness. The prophet Jeremiah, foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ, says his name will be Jehovah Tsekenu. The prophet calling Christ Jehovah, and not simply Jehovah, the self-existent one, but Jehovah Tsekenu, Jehovah who is our righteousness. And he is making it known to the people of Israel that in the midst of all of their corruption, the idolatry, the sin which has destroyed them, God will give them a righteousness which is His own. That His own Son, Jesus Christ, the branch, Jehovah, Sekenu, will be the righteousness of His people. He is proclaiming here a truth which is far more elaborated in the book of Romans, that the righteousness of God's people is not of their own making, for their righteousnesses are but filthy rags, but rather, the righteousness of God's people is Jesus Christ. He is made righteousness unto us. He stands before the Father as the righteousness of all of His people whom He saved, of all of those who trust in Him. And faltering, falling, failing Israel is told, this branch of Jehovah, this branch from Jesse, this branch of David will be a righteous branch and will in fact be the righteousness of His people. In chapter 33 of Jeremiah, where the term appears again, Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 15, the prophet Jeremiah writes, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Once again, Jeremiah reaffirms he will be a branch of righteousness. His name is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And then we turn to Zechariah, the next to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah in chapter 6. Actually, we look first at chapter 3 of Zechariah. Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai were writing to the people of Israel concerning the lax worship that they were presenting to Jehovah, which in fact was a mockery of Jehovah. And in this prophecy, Zechariah hears Jehovah speaking unto Joshua, who at that time was high priest. Joshua is seen in this vision in defiled garments. And the message that is brought through Zechariah is that this branch will indeed be a priest among his people. And so, in verse number 8 of chapter 3 of Zechariah, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Now see the sequence. This branch, who is the branch of Jehovah, who comes out of Jesse and of David, who is a righteous branch, the righteousness of his people, is also now presented as the servant of Jehovah. He is Jehovah. He will be the servant of Jehovah. In the wonder and mystery of the Godhead, we lose our own thoughts, endeavoring to understand it. But this one, the servant of Jehovah, this branch, indeed, will bring righteousness to his people. Verse 9, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in that day. He speaks here of one, the branch, who will be able to remove iniquity, who will take away sin. And as it describes him as one who will remove iniquity, one cannot but think of the words of John the Baptist as he introduced Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We come then to chapter number 6 of Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 6, the word of the Lord comes to Zechariah to tell him, verse 12, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." Zechariah is presenting that this branch will be the priest of his people. He will stand before God on their behalf. He will intercede for them as the high priest did on the Day of Atonement. But his intercession will differ from theirs inasmuch as he is the righteous branch, inasmuch as he is Jehovah their righteousness, inasmuch as he is the branch of David and the branch of Jehovah. And unlike any other priest, by far surpassing any other priest, he will exercise a priesthood from the throne of David, which is an everlasting throne by the promise of the prophets to David, and consequently an everlasting king and an everlasting priest are found in one person, this person called the branch. This person who will find its realization in none other than Jesus Christ. So that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans saying that he is able to save to the uttermost all of those who come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. So the branch, prophesied of in 6 different passages in the Old Testament, presents to us the coming of Christ out of Jesse's dead roots. Life springs by God's power, and that life is our righteousness. That life is our shelter. That life is our intercession and our cleansing forevermore. And this is the message of Christmas. Not heard in all of the busyness of the holiday and all of the economy of the event. But may this be the focus of our thinking. The prophets of old have promised us in Christ a perfect righteousness, a perfect shelter, a perfect deliverance, a perfect and unending advocate with the Father. And by Christ alone, thus, we are received of God. Let us dwell on these matters. And if you have not come to Christ, come to Him alone, in whom all of these benefits are offered free and forevermore. Shall we stand together as we pray? O God and Father in heaven, may each of us know ourselves joined to this righteous branch and grown forth from Him. And may we dwell upon the fruit of this branch: purity, cleansing, perfect righteousness, eternal perfect intercession. And may each person here know and adore Him. Hear our prayer and bless Thy word to our nurture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.